Blog Talk Radio.
Yay! Fantastic. That's great.
Welcome and hello. This is Joseph G. with Rum Radio and rumradio.org, the most comprehensive 12-step sponsorship in the known and the unknown universe. I'd like to acknowledge WNAH, Hoyt Carter, and Tony the Horse, who affords us the opportunity to broadcast live to their listening audience in Nashville, parts of Kentucky, and Arkansas as a public service presentation. We'd also like to acknowledge RecoveryToday.net magazine, one of the finer recovery journals that afford us some print space from time to time. I'd greatly like to introduce my co-host, Harold B., a family intervention specialist. He does a fine work with troubled families, and I personally believe the families are the basic unit of our society, and as the family goes, so does the nation. Harold?
Hi, everybody, and hi, Joseph. Thank you for that introduction. And yes, I also believe that families are the foundation of every society. And I see it as a privilege and an honor to work with families all over. And I also see it as very important to give back to this program of 12-step recovery. Alcoholics Anonymous and the people in the rooms of AA have saved my life more than once. And so I believe in giving back. I think that intensive work with another alcoholic is extremely important. That's the thing that's really kept me on the right track, and I give thanks for that. I give thanks for the 12 steps and the 12 traditions and the process of taking someone newer in recovery under our wings and giving them what was given to us when we got here. There were people here when we got here, and I think we have to be here for others that are new in the program when they arrive. And that's what's made, over the past 75 years, the program as successful as it has been, and it's world-renowned. There are meetings in cities all over the world. I've been to many meetings, and it's so fantastic to walk into a room where people's goal is better conscious contact with God, and be able to sit with people with whom we have so much in common, and study, and set aside our differences, look for the similarities. We speak the same language, and needs are met, and it's just an amazing experience to go to meetings in various places. So to help make that happen, we give back, we do service work. Going to meetings is service work. And what Joseph has done is to put together ideas about working with other people and put those ideas together on a website called rumradio.org. You can go there now on your computer, rumradio.org, and the website is all about working with others, about sponsoring people, how to be a sponsor, how to find a sponsor, what the steps are all about, what the traditions are. It's a wonderful website, so much information there, so many things to learn. And he just makes tons of money on this website. No, not actually. He doesn't make a penny. In fact, he has sunk thousands of dollars into making the website what it is. These things aren't free. I guess they are if you're a computer genius, but even then, time is money. So he spends money on this, but that's his way of giving back. He doesn't make money, and so I'm here as a public service. He does that as a public service. the radio station is also meeting their public service requirements by putting this on the air. And here we are. So I appreciate Joseph for taking the initiative and having the website and the radio broadcast. And so let's move forward with radio broadcast. Maybe we want to invite people tuning in to actually dial the number, press 1, and they can join in the conversation. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. Yes, the guest call-in number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 949-534-0621. Now, Sunday night is the live show. This is live. We're live right now. Then we have rewinds on Monday nights, and Saturday night is the rewind of this show. But tonight's the live show, so if you have something you'd like to add or join the conversation, 949-534-0621. If you just want to listen, that's okay too. All we ask you to do is if you find value and if you will, if you look, open your mouth and pass it on. I'd like to start the show every so often. I do this. I'd like to recite the third step prayer. I give this prayer to my new sponsees as one of their first assignments to call someone different every day for the first 30 days of their sobriety as me as their sponsor and to ask permission to repeat the third step prayer to them. And I do that to get them used to picking up the 500-pound telephone and asking for help. You know, it's sometimes we can give help, but it's harder to ask for help. It's a sign of humility when you ask for help, and we're not like that. So this is a good way to get them started. It also connects them up with their home or their local fellowship, so they get to know other people's name and they get to know his name. It encapsulates what we're going to try to accomplish by working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And fourthly, the person he calls might have been thinking about picking up his first drink of alcohol, and chances are, if he makes connections with this fellow, he will not pick up that drink of alcohol. So he's already into service work. I think this is a great idea. It wasn't my idea, but I think it's Dudley. One of the home groups in Houston came up with that idea, and I think I've used it, and I like it. It works well. And here's the prayer. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thy wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen, yeah.
Thank you, Harold. Tonight we're going to be doing from the 12 and 24 Dr. Bob times 5,000 drop-down box on rumradio.org. Michael M., out of the Chicagoland area, sent this in, and I posted it on the site. His experience in taking people through the 12 steps in 24 hours. Dr. Bob, one of our co-founders, had sponsored 5,000 men, which is a phenomenal, mind-boggling number. So they went pretty quick back in the original, the pioneers went through the steps fairly quickly. So to do 5,000 men, it wasn't a long, drawn-out process. Now, you could take this in a day if necessary. Maybe the guy's in prison. They do that sometimes. They do in 4 hours. They go through the step. You could take a couple days. You could take a week. You could take several weeks. But this lays it all out only using the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which some purists feel that this is the most appropriate way to do it. I use the 12 and 12 out. Also, Michael uses just using the big book as they did in the beginning. So on our sequence, on our serial, this is step 3, faith and the unlimited possibility. The simplicity of the 12 steps. Step 3's principle is faith. It is unreal how many people in AA are under the impression that the third step requires the alcoholic to have some idea how to turn their will and life over to God. Wayward souls, depressed, the movement beyond step 3 is beyond their purview because they have no idea how to achieve this task. One after another, bemoaning, I don't think I'm doing this right. I'm having so much trouble turning my will over. How do you do that? How would I know if I'm doing it right? Why need it be so arduous for them to find a competent sponsor to tell them? The book is not asking you to do any such thing. You don't know how to turn your will and your life over to God because you are wholly incapable of doing so. You are blocked from accomplishing this. It isn't until the next steps that we are even going to examine what is blocking you, and you are 4 steps removed from the process of those blockages being removed. All you are being asked to do is to make a decision. There's 3 frogs on a log. One of the frogs makes a decision to jump off. How many frogs are left on the log?
3.
Still 3, because the other frog only made a decision. He didn't do anything. Making a decision to do something and actually doing that something are separate activities. If you were to make a decision right this moment to get your PhD, would you all of a sudden have a degree in your hands? Of course not. The decision at hand will be presented to us in short order. In advance of that, though, we will turn to page 62 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous to find out what the root of our problem is. The problem, we now understand, is a lack of power, as dictated on page 45. This paragraph will clue in the key element driving the problem. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, in a 1959 Cadillac Eldorado, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation, but we inevitably find that at some time in the past we had made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. Harold?
That's a wonderful paragraph. That's quoted directly from the Big Book, page 62. In fact, let me read it again. It's so important to me. We, Joseph and I, were at a meeting tonight, and this kind of summarizes the topic. We talked about the process of step 8. We make a list and become willing to make amends. In step 9, we go out and make direct amends, which means that we have to own our part. And this really is the key. Let me quote it again. This is right from the Big Book, page 62. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our problems, our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that some time in the past we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. End quote. That is, it takes a lot of guts to look back and really take ownership of our part. But that's what this is talking about. Invariably, we find that at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. I call it leaving the door open, and that's all it takes. We leave the door open just a crack, and the enemy comes through and zap. So the process is to learn how to spot the blockages, as you said earlier, how to close that door, how to the willingness to see those blockages, and then to be willing to have God remove them. That's how I put it. See the blockages and be willing to have God remove them. We don't even have to remove them, but if we become willing, really willing, God will remove them. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. You forgot to mention the 1959 Cadillac Eldorado.
Ah.
I put that in there when I'm reading that to my sponsees to see if they're paying attention. If I don't get any rise in them, then I know that they're gathering wool somewhere.
Yes.
Curious how any member of Alcoholics Anonymous could possibly read that paragraph and then turn to a newcomer proclaiming, "This is a selfish program." This, you know, we have to do, this is all about us. We can't. The point is, when we say that, and it might be confusing to a newcomer, what we're trying to relate to is that we can't do this for a wife, for a girlfriend, get a job, to make life better in the sense that we're doing it for someone else. We have to have, their only reason that we could be doing this is because we need to do this for ourselves. So this is what they mean by a selfish program. But if you tell them that we're selfish anyway and that this is a selfish program, sometimes some folks get a disconnect. One of the fellows at the meeting, Marion, he's fairly new and he's had some really big trials so far. I think he's got 8 or 9 months. And his first several sponsors did not meet an expectation of understanding, meaning that he got into arguments with them. One of the sponsors broke a confidence in the meeting, which is, these are all big no-nos. And I had told Marion from the beginning to get to Rum Radio, and evidently he didn't go for it right away. A lot of folks don't. They don't know this is something new. It's really not new information. It's just information that is not readily available because we don't discuss it in the meetings, but it's all good stuff. How to find a sponsor, an interview with a sponsor. Wow, what a great idea. Or how to find a sponsee, which I think is even more important. But what what these do, and this is what the big book tells us, that we're supposed to go out and get them. AA has turned into like a dating service for sponsors. Find someone who has something that you want. Of course, if you don't know what you want, I didn't really know what I wanted, and I wasn't quite sure how this whole thing worked. So you shoot from the hip. If somebody says something, you know you need a sponsor. His argument was that we know that we need to work with another alcoholic to stay sober ourselves, so people would pick him up as a sponsor for their own selfish ends. It is, in a sense, it's a selfish end because that's what we do, it to stay sober ourselves, but there's so much, some has to come back. There has to be a selfless consideration. Selflessness is a spiritual concept. So Rum Radio gives you some of these outlines. Until you read it and look at it, there's a natural contempt as a new idea. And anytime somebody has a new idea or a different way of doing something, First, it'll be met with ridicule, then violent opposition, and then when the violent opposition passes away, self-evident. Once you see it, you go, oh, yeah, this makes all the sense in the world. So this has really stymied his progress to date. But, you know, he's still alive and he's still coming in and he hasn't drank. So it takes what it takes. Let's continue on. Page 20, yes. Paragraph 1. Our very best lives as ex-problem drinkers depend upon our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. Page 97, paragraph 2. Helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. A kindly act once in a while isn't enough. You have to act the good Samaritan every day if need be. Page 14, for if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. I'm going to digress a bit when you said about we inevitably put ourselves in a position to be hurt. There's a proverb that says we dig a ditch and fall therein and roll a stone and it rolls back upon us. We are the directors of our own demise. One clearly could not solve the deadly problem of selfishness with a selfish program. This is a selfless program, and it is critical that the prospect understand that service to their fellow man is the chief undercurrent of their recovery. I like to say this, too, at this juncture. It's a spiritual concept that I've come to an agreement with. When we're in, and this is about sponsorship but and service in general, when we're in the service of our fellow beings, are we not in the service of our God? And when we're in that service and in that moment, is that not when we make our conscious contact with our Creator? And in that moment, are we not divorced from self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity? And making that conscious contact with our Creator, who lives from moment to moment, eternity to eternity, life everlasting. The magic words in AA is action and more action, for faith without works is dead. Ned the dead. Harold?
Yes. That's what this has come to for me. It is a spiritual program, and at first I had a lot of trouble with my concept of a higher power, and so I borrowed faith from other members. I made the group my first higher power, which worked perfectly well, and then I've attended churches, and I've borrowed faith from other people in the program, and I've come to new understandings of God by studying what other people study, and most of all the scriptures, the Holy Bible, and first looking at it very skeptically, and what I found was that the prophecies in the Old Testament and a very scientific examination of how accurate they are as they came true in the New Testament for me became overwhelmingly convincing. And from that, as a starting point, then the Bible comes alive. And so I challenge anyone to really look at it carefully, that it becomes an experience. It's a living, breathing thing. And so, little by little, I've come to have a conscious contact with God, a relationship with God, and working with other people. and asking other people to work with me has been the key, the heart of the entire thing. People talk, God talks through people. And so the study of the scriptures combined with loving people around me and accepting their love has been just the most perfect experience. And I don't think either one by itself would really yield the results that I think God wants. And so the bottom line is my goal is to be more useful to God all the time. I want to be useful to God. I want to do things that please God. Now, the big book doesn't put it exactly that way, but that's the bottom line that I get from working the steps and living these principles in all our affairs. That's what that means to me. The steps came from the scriptures, and I think through working the steps, I've come full circle, and I'm back to the scriptures again. And so that's my experience, strength, and hope. Joseph?
Thanks, Harold. Bill W. said, and I agree, AA is spiritual kindergarten. So if I get a sponsee who's not a Christian and he doesn't know who to pray to, I says, well, we make it easy on you. All you need to do is to address it to whom it may concern. God is big enough. He's okay. He can handle that. I like to think of that some of the best Christians I ever met were atheists. You know, an atheist is someone who says there is no God and lives like there is one. And the agnostic says there might be a God and lives like there isn't. Also that atheism is a nonprofit organization where organized religion is for profits only. One clearly could not solve the deadly problem of selfishness with a selfish program. Okay, now we come to our choice. In step one, we have given the prospect a clear understanding of where they've been living. They may have understood that where they were living was miserable, but they now firmly grasp that they had been living as a victim of a hopeless state of mind and body. Correspondingly, they need to understand that the most definitely have the choice to continue living there. We must remember that if they decide that they have research to do, it is an act of codependent abuse to attempt to block them from doing so. In step two, we have demonstrated that previously, unbeknownst to them, there is actually a different place where they can choose to live. Harold?
Let's talk about that somewhat. Those are great ideas. Joseph is quoting again from the material we're reading. And when they use the word research, what I've found with many people that walk through the doors of AA, they come in met for many different reasons. Sometimes their wife is going to leave them if they don't get into recovery. Sometimes there's a judge requiring them to attend AA meetings. Sometimes their probation officer is saying, look, you've got to go get this paper signed and bring it back to me once a month. So sometimes they aren't really there because they think they have a drinking problem. Sometimes they're not there because they really want to quit. They're there because they're trying to meet some other obligation. And so they're not really convinced that alcohol is a problem at that point, and what's needed is more research. Because as long as they think they can drink like other people, like they can stop anytime they want, they just don't want to, and blah, 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 they're going to have a rough time with it. If they can try stopping, try changing, and like I did, you know, only drink on Fridays, only drink after 5, only drink after noon, only drink tequila, only drink beer, try, you know, this one thing and the other, and after we've tried everything and we find that this thing has us by the nape of the neck, only when we realize that we're whipped, that we've tried everything and we cannot stop, we cannot predict where the evening will end if we start drinking, we cannot control it, only until we've really come to realize that do we have some place to start. And so that's called research. Changing what we can, trying to control it, going out, trying to do controlled drinking, becoming thoroughly convinced that we simply can't, that's the research. That's the step one. That's the first step. I still believe we do it out there by trying everything we possibly can. Once we're thoroughly convinced, then we've done step one. That's the research that we're talking about. And so the people that might want us to get better and want us to quit, and so pour the booze down the sink or hide the bottles or do all the other things, that's what's called codependent abuse. And the sentence here is that we must remember that if they decide that they have research to do, it is an act of codependent abuse to attempt to block them from doing so. So the people supposedly, well, inadvertently, people who block us from doing our research, from trying this and trying that and finding it unsuccessful, that's codependency, and it really is not recommended. There are chapters in the big book of AA and in other recovery material that advise the loved ones of what to do and what not to do so that we can increase our usefulness in the program. So that's what's going on with this idea of research and with the idea of codependent abuse. We don't recommend drinking with somebody that's having a problem, but I'll leave the rest of that for your reading in the big book of AA. There's the chapter is called To the Wives. There's another chapter called To Employers. They're both very good. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. It's also called enabling. When we try to interrupt the spiritual concept of hitting bottom, until we have admitted to our innermost self that we were alcoholic, we still hadn't hit bottom. Bottom is a relative term. We use high bottom and low bottom, but it all has to work out that we have to admit to our innermost selves that we were alcoholic. There was two alcoholics living under an overpass, and one of them was an attorney at one time, or a man of means, and he owned a big house and had a beautiful wife and a car and a member of the community. And he was lamenting to another alcoholic living under the overpass. He said, look, He said, I had all these things, and now I'm living in a Lady Kenmore cardboard box. And the other alcoholic turned around and said, wow, you still got a box? So we find out that it takes what it takes. Some bottoms are one time in jail, and somebody gets so scared that they scares them straight. Some people have been to jail so many times that it loses its effect. Some people have lost homes and jobs, and their health is on the wane, and they still don't get it. You know, sometimes the solution to alcoholism is death, insanity, incarceration. But we're playing God if we think we could do anything other than hope. I tell the newcomer in the newcomer meeting that we share in our meetings is experience, strength, and hope. Experience is an inventory of our past mistakes. That's how we relate to each other. Strength is the ability to lift or carry. We lift our fellows and we carry the message of recovery that keeps us sober. And hope is the belief that our lives will continue to improve when we do the next right thing. And that next right thing is not to take that first drink of alcohol. To clean house, as suggested by the outline of the 12 steps found in our basic text, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and to always trust in God and the process that He gave us. If they choose step one, our work here is complete. We let them know that we wish them well in their research and that they should come to find choices not serving them. We will be more than happy to re-engage the work when they are ready. If they choose step two, then it is a time to declare to themselves, to us, and to God, the conclusion that they have reached. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and do with me as thy will. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of their power, of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. As I often found that newcomers have difficulty grasping what this prayer means, often paired with an aversion of all the thys and thous, I will often offer them this alternate wording. God, I am giving you me. I don't really know what hell I am. I don't really know what I'm giving you. I don't really know who or what you are. I'm not even entirely sure that you are there. Regardless, I can see that my life is unmanageable because I'm a lousy manager. So I'm going to fire myself and hire you. I figure it's a minimal risk, as you couldn't possibly screw my life up worse than I have. Whatever you put me here for, God, please show me, because I'm completely lost. I'm a prisoner of my own mind. When I run the show, it is a train wreck, but I can't stop running the show. Relieve of this so I can let you do what I'm asking you to do, which is to get into the game. As my difficulties become less difficult, help me see where help is needed and let me provide that help your way rather than my way, where I always have an agenda or a motive. Harold?
That is really, really wonderful. What a great restatement of the third step prayer. I like that so much better. I really can't, I don't have much use for the these and thys. You know, that's old English. We don't talk that way. We have never talked that way here in this country, I guess.
Well, the Puritans.
I love it. Can I read it again?
Sure, go ahead.
And the word me goes in that sentence near the bottom. Relieve me of this. Okay, quote, God, I am giving you me. I don't really know who the hell I am, so I don't really know what I'm giving you. I don't really know who or what you are. I'm not even entirely sure that you are there. Regardless, I can see that my life is unmanageable because I am a lousy manager. So, I'm going to fire myself and hire you. I figure it's a minimal risk, as you couldn't possibly screw up my life worse than I have. Whatever you put me here for, God, please show me, because I am completely lost. I'm a prisoner of my own mind. When I run the show, it's a train wreck, but I can't stop running the show. So relieve me of this, so I can let you do what I am asking you to do. Relieve me of this so I can let you do what I am asking you to do. I see here. There we go. Which is to get in the game. As my difficulties become less difficult, help me see where help is needed and let me provide that help your way rather than my way, where I always have an agenda or a motive. Amen. That's a great prayer. I run groups for the mentally ill, and one of the groups I run is a chemical dependency group for the mentally ill. And so I wanted to focus on the AA slogans. And there's a website that has over 400 of them. So I picked about the top two dozen and put them on paper, and we talked about them. One of them said that if God is in the co-pilot seat, change seats.
I like that.
Yes. All right. So let's continue on, Joseph.
All right. I have a little thumbnail on the post that said, God has a bigger plan for me than I have for myself. Our prospect has now completed their preparation for the program of action. Remember, action and more action. They understand their problem. They understand their solution. And they have made an affirmative declaration based on their understanding of both these things, that they are prepared to bring the solution to light. The second to last sentence on page 63 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous explains, this was only a beginning, though if honest and humbly made, an effect, sometimes a very great one, was felt at once. If the prospect is indeed feeling a measure of hope, or perhaps even a glimpse of God consciousness, we want to let them know that this is the effect that the book is referring to. And while what they are feeling is beautiful, an effect is not a change. No change has occurred to this point. What's more, the effect they are feeling is specifically designed to be just powerful enough to provide them with the wherewithal to move forward and to do the work necessary for their recovery. Without that work, the effect will vanish as quickly as it showed up. Harold?
That's really an important idea, and I think it is also experienced in many religious services and church experiences that unfortunately many religious organizations are going for an entertainment effect to fill the seats, and they're soft selling some of the important principles from the scriptures so that people won't be offended. They're trying to make the gospel more palatable for unbelievers, and I'm convinced that that is not the assignment at all, that we have to stick to the principles, we have to say what needs to be said, and let the chips fall where they may. We have to stick to the principles. We have to live the principles. We have to teach the principles and not bow to the personalities. So I will tell a new recruit what needs to be said, even if it may ruffle some feathers. This is a life and death struggle. And this is no time to get weak in the knees or to lose our backbone, but we need to say the things that need to be said. Now, with AA, as we talk to people who are new in recovery, we talk about our experiences, what we were like, what happened, and what we're like now. And we are careful not to glamorize our drinking or using or any of those days. It's not a glamorous thing, but we do want to connect. I think earlier you spoke about Marion and his unfortunate experience feeling betrayed by his sponsor in the first month of recovery. But what he did say that I really valued was that the main thing that people need when they come in is someone who really cares. I remember my early days in meetings, and what I was so impressed by was that they were willing to love me until I could love myself. I really felt the caring and the love, and that's what Marion was talking about. We do have to show a caring about where the person is and what this is all about, and then mix that with a logical look at the principles, so we don't give up the principles, and we don't give up the love. And what I've been studying in the scriptures recently is that Apostle Paul would also walk that line where he loved the people. We're studying Ephesians and 1 Corinthians, and he loved them. He said what needed to be said, and he corrected them when they got off track, and he loved them. He talked about praying and being in tears, really loving them and caring and getting his caring across. So he had both the principles and the love, and that's what's really needed. I think we need the same thing in the rooms of AA. They need the truth, and they need our caring and love. And that's what this is all about. That's when we're useful. That's when we're useful. Joseph?
Thanks, Harold. Dr. Bob, our co-founder, said he could break down the AA program into two words, love and service. Love is critical. I'm going to address the fact that Michael put that effect is not change. So I think we're referring to a spiritual awakening and a spiritual experience. This would be the beginning of a spiritual awakening. Now, this is a very mild. Now, the experience happens in a very short period of time and is usually quite profound. Burning bush, we usually call it. Dr. Bill W. had it in his spiritual experience. On top of a mountain, electrical. But most of us don't get that. I believe that most of us, it's a spiritual awakening. This is probably the beginning of it. A little effect. The difference between the awakening and the experience, in my experience is that I've had spiritual experiences, but no matter how profound the experience, it will dissipate in time. The awakening is a line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That is the cornerstone of recovery. To stay into the action, going to the meetings, chairing the meetings, helping the other alcoholic, drinking the coffee, going into 12-step service work, sponsoring day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out. That's when God can really work with you. Line upon line and precept upon precept. We do a little here and a little there, but we're continuously into action. I think that's the really, and this is the beginning of it. This is the beginning with the effect. Oh, there is something other than me out there. How cool is that? Step three is unique in the sense that in step two, we come to believe that a power greater than ourselves was the solution, that it could restore us to sanity. In step three, we will discover how to make use of that power by turning our will and our lives over to the care of that power. The 12 and 12 states, the effectiveness of the whole AA program will rest upon how well and earnestly we have tried to come to a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step three has to be determined and persistent to be effective. That's the effect. In AA, we all had to come up with a higher power. For some, just slightly higher, and some, the God of their fathers. As an alcoholic, a lot of alcoholics, they're the God of their understanding, higher power. I tell them that's God's initials is HP. And it says so in the Our Father. It says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we know God's first name and his initials are HP. We come into the rooms unique, special, and different, thinking that this might work for you, but it's probably going to not work for me because I have my own agenda. I'm really different and special. And as I notice, the folks that come up with the real abstract specialty, one of a kind, God, small g, as only of what they're doing is they're attesting to their own uniqueness of understanding. Harold?
Yes, it's who was it that said, quit telling your God how big your problems are, start telling your problems how big your God is. If you're worried and fearful all the time, your God is too small. And that brings me to the idea, I had trouble at first with step three because of the words will, your wife, life and your will, not your wife, your life and your will.
My wife is unmanageable.
My wife is unmanageable. Made a decision to turn our life and our will over to the care of God as we understood Him. And my first sponsor said, well, will means thoughts and life means actions. So your thoughts and your actions, you want to check with your higher power. Now, my first higher power was the group itself. And so that meant call someone before you make a big decision or a small decision, as you're thinking, check your thinking with the group and check your decisions, your actions with the group. And I could handle that That made sense to me. My best thinking had gotten me where I was, which wasn't in a good space. So I checked my thinking and my actions with the group, with my higher power, and that's how I decided to live. And little by little, I began to do that, and things began to improve. When I would take my when I ran on self-will again, things fell apart. So it was a barometer to help me see that I needed to turn my life and my will, my thoughts and my actions, over to my higher power. And my sponsor would remind me, make no decision alone. Make no decision alone. And so that became my motto. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. There was an atheist who loved to fish. An atheist is someone who says there is a God and lives like there isn't, and the agnostic said there might be a God and lives like there isn't. He would travel the world to fish in exotic places. One late afternoon, while fishing, the Loch Ness Monster emerged from the depths and threatened to destroy him. The atheist yells up to the heavens and pleads for help. The heavens open up and a voice is heard saying, "I thought you didn't believe in me." The now believer calls back and says, "Lord, give me a break. 2 minutes ago, I didn't believe in the Loch Ness Monster either." Maybe the atheist cannot find God for the same reason a thief cannot find a policeman. He's not looking. Some of us had the belief in God that we had developed as children and never changed it. Still others mouthed the words, not giving much thought of whether we believed them or not. Step 3 asks us to examine our concept of God and to work with it. We can change it if we find it necessary and desirable. A wise man once said, "Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he who rolleth a stone, it will return upon us." We think that our troubles are of our own making. I like to say this, so the 12 and 12 puts it this way. Each of us had his own near fatal encounter with the juggernaut of self-will and has suffered enough weight to be willing to look for something better. So it really boils down to the jug or not. What's that, Harold?
There you go, yeah.
The jug or not. I might not be much, but I'm all I think about. What is that something better? The AA Big Book tells us this is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to stop playing God. It didn't work. We live by the adage, it's either my way or the highway, and addiction is route one. Only the lonely. Since our best thinking got us here, we had to stop trying to control people, places, and things. We had to develop humility. Humiliation was all too familiar, but humility, that was a horse of a different color. We were beaten down to a state of reasonableness. We became teachable. We had to be convinced that any life run on self-will could hardly be a success. We did have fun for a while, but nothing lasting. The fabric of our lives became torn and shallow. The years of unmanageability slowly turned to a quiet desperation and, for some, a wailing lament. When will I awake? For I will seek it yet again. Turning our will and our lives over to the care of God, a tall order. My ego has been in charge so long. If I lose myself, how can I find myself? A quote from Pogo the Alligator. We have met the enemy, and he is us. Harold? Oh, we're just about out of time.
Down to about 30 seconds.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I thank you for coming in and listening to Rum Radio. I hope you find a benefit from that. there's a lot of folks. We're in 137 countries. No, 133 countries, 2,053 towns, cities, and villages, and 123,000 hits to the website. If you find value, open your mouth and pass it on. Otherwise, we'll see you on the radio, rumradio.org. Good night.
Good night.